welcome to CGDS Radio. This is your host, Maya.
And I'm Calvin. This is our second CGDS Radio show. Today we are going to do big questions for little kids, and we will interview the fourth class teacher. This is the station where hearts and minds can soar.
Mr. Brent's class is doing a candy project. We will learn more about that. And we will also find out how many books were selected and a whole lot more.
Our sponsors are the founders of Barna International. They are Jerome and Colleen Chernoff.
We will meet you right after the song.
You know the bed feels warmer, sleeping here alone. You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come running back. Baby, you don't know me cause you're dead wrong. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Probably the biggest is I love kids. obviously. I think they're a lot of fun. And I think when I was in high school, about my junior year, I got to work in a second grade classroom. And the teacher just had a different approach to teaching than I had ever seen before. And she just had a lot of fun. And there was a lot of learning. And I thought that was exactly what I wanted to do. But one of the main reasons I love to teach is I get to learn with the kids also. It makes it really interesting and a lot of fun.
Tell me about something you enjoy teaching and why.
The biggest thing is probably watching the growth of the kids over the year, especially with the four-year-olds. They start out so young and needing you to help them with a lot of stuff, and then by the end of the year, you just really see them not just grow physically and get taller, but they're a lot more independent, and you see how much they've learned, and it's just really rewarding to see that growth.
Do you have any pets in your class?
Yeah, we have two gerbils, Snowball and Cinnamon, and we have a job where someone in some classes is a zoologist, and they check their water, and we feed them every day, and they get special little treats throughout the week.
What made you want to teach at CJDS in specific?
Because the school is awesome. I love that everything is hands-on learning, and it's based on the interest of the kids and what they want to learn. It's just a different approach to teaching, and it's awesome, and it helps me to be a lifelong learner, too.
Thank you for coming in, Ms. Rachel.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Now we will do big questions for little kids.
Hi, I'm Terry Reddy, and this segment is Big Questions for Little Kids. And right here we have one of these little kids. His name is Max. And how old are you, Max?
Four.
You're four? Yeah. So our first question is, what have you been learning in school?
Giraffe.
Giraffe? You've been learning about giraffes? Giraffes are pretty cool, aren't they? And what is your favorite thing to play with your friends at recess?
What games do you like to play?
Dress up. You like to play dress up? Pretty fun. Because you can be whoever you want it. Like, right now you're Superman. You're wearing a Superman shirt. I mean, no? Now, why do you like this school? Playground, because you're friends. Why do you like it so much?
Because I like to be outside, like, all of the toys.
Because you like to play outside with all the toys? Yeah. But now it's little. Now, since you like the school so much, what was something you thought was really fun that you did today?
We read the giraffe book.
You read a giraffe book?
And the one in the giraffe. Every time he gets plans, he sits with his glass.
Really? That's cool. So, another question for you is, this is a big question. Do you think you can handle it? Now, what state do you think we live in? Do you think we live in Florida, or do you think we live in South Carolina?
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Really? I thought it was Florida. Now, next question is, how many states do you think there are? Like, just in general, in America, how many states do you think there are? Two? Do you think there are two?
Yes. Yeah.
And we also have, who do you think was our very first president in America? Do you think it was your dad? Do you think it was George Washington? Who do you think it was? Washington? Really? Wow. I thought it was your dad. Now, our next question is, what is your favorite book? What is your favorite book?
Giraffe.
Giraffe? That's your favorite kind of book?
You like learning about giraffes?
Yeah. They are pretty. And what do you like to do after school? Like, is there anything you really love looking forward to? Like, anything?
I want to play with Legos.
To play with Legos inside? Because, you know, it's not fun to play if it's raining out, so good to play inside.
And it's fun to play outside when it's raining.
Yeah, put on your boots, stomp some puddles.
And when I was in rain outside, I did not have
boots on.
You know.
You didn't have boots on?
And I had my clothes on, and I
and I get all the
money. No. You got all muddy and wet.
No, not all muddy. It's wet. And
really wet.
And it's time for me to get a shower and day. Just let
it's
me
time
out.
To get a shower
and
you're outside.
Now it's outside and I get some cold water in the pot and he pour it on me and it was so fun.
Wanna know what I would say? Because I would say to my mom when I was little, why would I have to take a shower? I'm just in the rain, you know?
You're
getting all wet. Makes no sense. Last question, okay? Last question. So I'm going to give you a variety of options for this answer. This question is, where do you think you live?
South Carolina. And
so, thanks for coming in, Max, and letting me ask you some questions. Glad you could come. Have a fun day. He's Superman. We have our final little kid here. His name's Maxwell. And how old are you, Maxwell?
5.
You're 5?
I've turned 5 September.
You're older than all your other friends, aren't you? 5.
No,
you're
my brother.
I have one
brother.
How old is your brother?
I think 12.
You think your brother's 12?
Yeah.
Now, what are you learning in school? What are you learning about?
Giraffe.
Now, why do you like learning about giraffes? What's your favorite thing about giraffes?
They take tongues so they can get 13 high up in the air.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool fact, isn't it? And what do you like playing with your friends? In recess, what's your favorite thing?
Tag.
You like playing tag a lot?
Yeah.
Tag is pretty fun, isn't it? And who do you play tag with?
Max Taylor.
You play with the other Max?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Max and Max tag thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Max and Maxwell, I guess you could say. And why do you like this school so much?
Because I get together with Mr. Brent.
Because you get together with Mr. Brent. And who's your favorite teacher?
Miss Brent.
Miss Rachel. And what is something you did fun today?
Going on the tire swing.
Going on the tire swing? Tire swings are pretty awesome, aren't they?
Yeah, but I don't really like spinning because I'm dizzy.
And you get dizzy. And you get dizzy.
And I get almost sick.
And you get almost sick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, we have a big question for you, or that wouldn't be called a big question to the little kids. It's, what country do you live in?
United States of America.
United States of America? Yeah, you're like one of the first people who got it right.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah. That hurt. It's a terrible way to do that. And we have, how many states are there in America?
I think there's 50.
50, you're going to go with 50?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that too. And who was our first president? Your mom?
Mommy.
George Washington?
Mommy.
Your mom? Your mommy?
Yeah.
She was a pretty cool president, don't you think?
Yeah.
And the next question is, what is your favorite book?
I don't know.
You don't know? You like a lot of books? Yeah. I like a lot of books, too. And so there's, what do you like to do after school? Like, you like school, but when you get home, what do you look forward to doing?
Watching TV.
Watching TV? What is your favorite thing to watch on TV? You don't really know? Same thing with the books. You have a lot of favorite things to watch. Yeah, it's like so many things. You don't even know what your favorite thing is anymore. And our last really big question is, where in the United States do you think you live in? What state?
United States of America.
Really? Is this your final answer? Well, and thank you, Maxwell, for coming in for Big Questions and Little Kids. And that is all. Bye.
Now we have an update on Harmony School by Willow Bradovich.
Hello, this is Willow Bradovich, and I'm giving you an update on Harmony School. In October, Harmony School was flooded during the historic South Carolina flood. Cutler Jewish Day School donated $150 and over 500 books. The money and the books were delivered on Friday, November 6th. Harmony School is doing fine now and getting a lot of help. Kids at Harmony School are doing well and safe. The younger students at Harmony School are still learning because at Harmony School they have a trailer, and all of the preschoolers are having class in the trailer because the trailer was not affected from the flood.
Hi, my name is Ava Jackson, and this is our first episode of How It's Made. I will teach you how to make a dream catcher. First, this is the legend of the dream catcher. Do you know your work has a story?
Long ago, when the world was sad, an old Lakota spiritual leader was high on a mountain and had a vision. In his vision, Kikomi, the great trickster and searcher of wisdom, appeared in the form of a spider. Kikomi spoke to him in a strange language. As he spoke, Kikomi, the spider, picked up the elder's willow hoop, which had feathers, horse hair, seeds, and offerings on it. He began to spin a web. He spoke to the elder about the cycle of life, and how we begin our lives as infants and move on through childhood to adulthood. Finally, we grow to old age, where we must be taken care of as infants, completing the cycle. But Kikomi said, as he continued to spin his web, in each time of life, there are many forces, some good and some bad. If you listen to the good forces, they'll steer you in the right direction. But if you listen to the bad forces, they'll steer you in the wrong direction and hurt you. So these forces can help you or can interfere with the harmony of nature. While the spider spoke, he continued to weave his web. When Kikomi finished speaking, he gave the elder the web and said, "The web is a perfect circle with a hole in the center. Use the web to help your people reach their goals, making good use of their ideas, dreams, and visions. If you believe in the Great Spirit, the web will filter your good ideas and the bad ones will be trapped and will not pass." The elder passed on the vision to the people, and now many Indian people have a dream catcher above their bed, their dreams and visions. The good will pass through the center of the hole into the sleeping person. The evil dreams are captured in the web, where they will perish in the light of the morning sun. It is said that the dream catcher holds the destiny of the future.
Now it's time for me to tell you the items you will need. A base, which can be made from vines, woven into a circle. The circle can be anywhere to an average clock size or the size of a quarter. You will need string or yarn. You can also use other items, such as beads, seashells, and feathers, but make sure they are all biodegradable. Once you have these items, we will be ready to make a dream catcher next radio show episode. Till then, this is Ava on How It's Made.
Here with the Arrow Garden Progress Report is the kid with the green thumb himself, Mikhail Jeffcoat.
This is Mikhail Jeffcoat, the kid with the green thumb, and today I am reporting on our Arrow Garden. The Arrow Garden is a very simple way to have perfect and tasty plants in just 5 easy steps, and you can put them anywhere inside your house because it provides light and all the nutrients a plant needs to grow. My class has an Arrow Garden, and in just a week, our plants sprouted. They're also edible. The plants come in triangular pods, which tell you how tall the plants will grow. You should put the tall ones in the back because it will take up too much space in the front. Here are the steps to have a nice and tasty plant. Step 1. Order whichever herbs, flowers, and vegetables you want. Step 2. Build the Arrow Garden. Step 3. Add water to the bottom. Step 4, add the nutrients. Step 5, watch them grow before your eyes. My class planted mint, basil, snapdragon, cilantro, calendula, and marigold. You're listening to the kid with the green thumb himself, Mikhail Jeffcoat.
And now we'll work from our sponsor.
I am Elias Chonov, and I want to talk to you about a wonderful opportunity. Imagine yourself drinking coffee at a cafe in Rome, or eating the most wonderful creme brulee on the Mediterranean. You can have all this and more by touring with Varna International, your key to world-class experiences. 17 years ago, my parents started taking musicians from the USA to Europe for music academies and concert tours. Join Varna International as we tour places that will make you want to become a musician. Check out our website at varnainternational.com. That's V-A-R-N-A international.com, where you can listen to some music clips of our concerts in Europe's finest concert halls, with tours that take you from South Carolina all the way to the Mediterranean. We hope you will make yourself at home.
I'm Amelia Lacey, and today I'm having a conversation with Colleen Chunev
and his wife, Sharon.
They are the writers of the new up-and-coming book of Bulgarian folklore. In addition, they founded Varna International. Thank you for coming to our studio today.
Thank you, Amelia.
Thank you for having me. May I ask you some questions about the Bulgarian folktale book?
Yes, of course.
Okay. What inspired you guys to bring these Bulgarian folktales to America?
I grew up in Bulgaria, which is in southern Europe. And while I was a small child, I loved to read. My sister, who was very ambitious, and she trained me to read and write at age 4. So thereafter, I continued to read. It became one of my favorite things. So after school, I would spend hours on end reading folk tales and other novels and short stories for many, many years. And when I came in America, students, that was about 20 years ago, of course, I kept with my group from Bulgaria with the training and everything that I've experienced. And later in life, I had a desire to bring my heritage and share it with the people of America, with the children of America, and of course having a son who grows up in America and was born here, Eliav Chanev, yes, who is your classmate. It is wonderful to share with him and with other children in America my traditions and folk heritage and the folk tales of my nation, which are very rich and very wonderful.
It's really cool. What is your favorite, like, folktale or folktale series?
Yes, there are many favorites. I do not have a single one favorite because they all teach a lesson and a moral, and they're all wonderful and very helpful to shape your thinking and to help you find good ways in life where you can draw from the lesson in the folktale and train others as well.
The one from your book, The Fox and the Hedgehog, I really like. Another book that I really liked were Aesop's Fables.
Yes, these are wonderful tales, and all of them have great lessons to learn, and they're very interesting in a way that they present a window to another culture, which is different than America. So that's the other aspect, which is very interesting to introduce to the American audience, something which is not so readily available because learning from another culture and from another tradition always enriches the understanding of other people.
Your book seems to teach morals and lessons. Which lesson do you think is most important?
There are many lessons which are applicable in our life, and as we grow from childhood to maturity, we need to listen to the wisdom of the people who have that wisdom, and the people of many nations have collective wisdom. So the folk tale introduced the wisdom of the people throughout many generations. So that's why they're so valuable, because these are like crystals and pearls which have been enriched and beautified throughout many centuries, and all the essential wisdom and understanding which comes across and through the folk tale are so valuable. So this is what we want to share with the children and with hopefully the adults of this culture.
I heard that you are related to the art. May I ask more questions about him?
Of course.
Did you think he was perfect for this job? Like, why did you think that he should have been your illustrator?
Boris Duyulov is an internationally known artist. and he illustrated more than 2,500 books in his life, and he is among the top artists of Bulgaria, and he has illustrated for publications in Canada, Romania, Bulgaria, and other nations, and his artwork is truly amazing. So it's a privilege to work with this level of artist. And as you mentioned, Promptly, he's a relative, he's my sister's brother. They're both artists, and it's a privilege to work with both of them. My sister, Avika, designs all our materials, publication, advertisement, promotional materials for Farm International, and his area is illustration. So he brings another aspect of the story through the visual, through the illustration, and adds a lot to make them more vivid for the children and the adults who read them.
You mentioned that his wife is also an artist. What type of art does she do?
She's in the graphic design, advertisements, promotional materials. So, but she does also original artwork, a lot, original artwork. They're both very, very talented, and they both graduated from the Art Academy in Sofia, Bulgaria, and they're both professional artists.
Tell me things about your story, and who did the staff like the last project being launched in the U.S.? To be involved in it, since we have an 11-year-old boy at home who enjoys reading these tales, we're excited about sharing it with other boys and girls. Can you name one of the books that you're talking about this?
He specializes mostly in children's books as well as fantasy, all kinds of books he has illustrated. All the national and international well-known literature, pretty much, has been illustrated, translated into Bulgarian, and illustrated by him and other artists.
Any things about your book that you're reading about?
We are in the final stages of editing, and so we will be publishing shortly, but we are very excited about finally launching this project in America. There are two books, and it will be book series. But so far, we have volume one and volume two.
What like the baby in library, bookstores, where do you think they would come?
Subsequently, maybe they will make their way into libraries, but initially they will be for sale in various ways. We will have we are almost finished with a beautiful website where people can purchase the book through the website or subsequently for Amazon. I have not thought of the large chain bookstores yet, but subsequently, we may do that.
Now I would like to ask you questions about Verna International.
Yes.
I don't know much about this, but I have looked at it, a few websites, I've watched this video about it. It seems pretty interesting. What is your Verna International mission for it? Why did you make it?
Verna is my home city where I grew up. Verna is a Black Coast, a major port of Bulgaria. And Bulgaria neighbors with Turkey and Greece to the south, to the west is Macedonia, Serbia, and then to the north, Romania, Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, and to the east is the Black Sea. So Bulgaria is strategically located in the Balkans region of Southern Europe, but the company carries the name of my city where I grew up, where I was trained, and I'm forever thankful for what I've learned in my hometown. So now our company bears this name, Varna International. What we do is we're concert organizers, concert festival and classical music organizers, as well as academy organizers. So what we do is we take soloists, conductors, instrumentalists, choristers, and orchestras to Europe, and we train them as well as we present performance series and concerts in many major cities of Europe, as well as in America. And the mission, we are devoted to excellence. So we contract major artists, we book internationally known concert venues such as Kennedy Center in D.C., Avery Fisher Hall, Lincoln Center in New York, Wang Theater in Boston, we have performed here in Carolina as well, in the Cobra Center, and in the Charleston Hall town. So we have engaged such well-known orchestras such as the National Philharmonic from Washington, D.C., the Boston Modern Orchestra Project, which both are elite orchestras. In Europe, we have worked with Prague Philharmonic, with Dohnányi Orchestra, and Sofia Philharmonic, with many, many elite orchestras and soloists and choirs. We have worked with the largest children's choir in America, which is the Indianapolis Children's Choir. There are 2,000 kids in this choir, and of course we worked with one of the groups in the choir, which was the elite concert group of Indianapolis Children's Choir, and many, many other choirs. But our mission is to build bridges between cities and nations and continents, and to excel on the concert stage and to bring the art of classical music and to create these opportunities for international art throughout the world.
How long did it take you to get a website ready and get people to know about it? How long did it take for it to build up?
The website has been developed throughout many years. And, of course, the website reflects what we do. A good website should be concise but also informative and should portray accurately what the goods and services which someone offers are. And so throughout 17 years of more and more our website, so that it will represent what we do better. And so it's always a work in progress because there are always things one can perfect. We should never stop certain level and say, well, I have arrived, because we need to always look forward to excel and excel evolving into the sense of perfection, and it's a need and urge from inside to go forward.
Do you have a record for many people?
Yes, 1 year we had 1,000 participants, but all in all we have worked with tens of thousands of musicians from all over the world over the past 17 years, from North and South America, from Europe, from the Middle East, Asia. So we have had participants in our program from all over the world.
Was it hard for you to get that many people?
Yes, it was hard and it's still hard, but it's exciting. It makes it challenging. Every year is a little bit different. We don't repeat necessarily the same programs every year, and I think Karin also enjoys to create new opportunities for musicians.
There is always a challenge in the recruiting and promotional aspect in any business, so that's one thing which every company needs to continue to work on, how to cultivate the relationships. We are very thankful that many of our alumni return year after year. We have had great success in terms of people who we have worked before with, and they come back to our program time and again. So it's mutual, but these things are built through commitment and a lot of time. And no, the path is not easy, but it's rewarding.
I bet it is. Let's try this thing, planning with my
being in the shower, and I don't play an instrument. I used to play piano during high school, but then I got too lazy to continue practicing, so I stopped. And I am Mr. Chona's audience, and he plays with me.
But you still have experience with music.
I am musical, and my grandmother was a concert pianist, and I enjoy the organizational part.
Do you travel much? Like, do you go with the people?
Yes, we travel a lot, at least 2-3 times a year for extended periods of time. In the summer are most of our programs. So in May and July, we have a lot of concert tours and festivals, academies, and then in between, we have preparation and meetings with partners in the fall and spring. So, yes, our job requires a lot of travel.
How long do you think that you would try to keep this going for until you hand it down to maybe your son or your brother-in-law?
Well, what you're describing is like exit strategy. We do not look into this in this way that it's kind of for a certain period of time and then you do something with it. We work according to the needs and we are at the service for the music community worldwide. So as long as our services are needed and appreciated, we will continue to work.
I have one last question.
Yes.
Are the tours family friendly? Like, is there an age limit?
It's Could very I go? Family friendly, and yes, you can go.
Yes, it is very family friendly, and we encourage families to come with their children to travel. It's a wonderful educational opportunity to see foreign lands and listen to classical music. For example, if you travel with us to Vienna, you can experience firsthand some of the life of Mozart and other wonderful composers, and then you listen to their music in the Viennese concert hall. That's a wonderful educational experience.
Audience, travel audience, is always encouraged to join. Some participants come with family, some with friends, but we have sometimes people who just are lovers of the arts and concerts and the concerts, and they travel with us and they experience the beauty of those cities and nations, but also our concerts. First, can they receive free tickets for the concerts and enjoy also from the inside the process of music making, the production making, which is very intricate and very interesting world to see behind the scenes what's going on in the process of music making and the rehearsal of the maestro and the musicians during the process of making before the concert.
Well, this is all the time we have today, but I'm so glad that you came. I was very curious at this question. And I hope that your book gets finished publishing really quick and that you get to keep Garnet International going for a long time.
Thank you, Amelia. I enjoyed very much our interview. Thank you for inviting me.
The next part of our show is called Write On, which will be about simile poems by the 4th and 5th graders. What are similes, you ask? Similes are a tool that writers use to compare two unlike things using the words like or as. Some are feeling like a firefly in a jar, like a fireman being shot, like climbing trees. Like a rainbow filling the sky, in memory of a time, won't you please come again? I'm Maya Davis, age 11.
Anger, like fire, anger spreads quickly, raging through everything in its path. Smoke, blacker than black, choking me and keeping me from seeing clearly. The taste, acrid in my mouth, hot, fiery red, eventually burning out. By Emerson Vandenberg, age 11.
Drawing, like the pencil on the paper, like leaves on a tree, the eraser wiping out the mistakes, like bare branches in the winter, the figures still, like the trunk of a tree, planes that I draw diving down like a peregrine falcon from the tallest bough, the roots of my imagination hanging on my wall. Elliot Scher, age 11.
Enough for me, like a rabbit on a rainbow, or a bird in the bay. You and me are different, just like a rabbit on a rainbow or a bird in a bay, like a dove in the desert or a parrot in paradise. You and me are different, just like a dove in the desert or a parrot in paradise, like a tapir in the tundra or a penguin in a pet shop. You and me are different, like a tapir in the tundra or a penguin in a pet shop. Like a bear in Brazil, or who knows where, but that's enough for me. I'm Sarah Jacobs, age 9.
Now we have Elliot Scher having a conversation with some of Mr. Brand's second graders about the candy project they just completed.
I'm reporter Elliot Scher. Today I will be reporting on Mr. Brand's project with his second grade class. The second grade class project is called the Candy Lab. They did so many cool things with candy, including how long it took to melt the candy in the microwave. They weighed the candy. They froze the candy. They catapulted the candy across the room and measured the distance. They looked to see if it sunk or floated. They built boats and floated the candy in the boats. They dissected the candy and made their own types of candy and classified and sorted the candy. The students were on time to school because it was so cool. The second grade and Mr. Brent did this to study math and science. Mr. Brent says it was a success and he will do it next year. Today, I will be reporting on Mr. Brent's project with two members of his second grade class. So what is your name?
Layla.
So what are you and your class doing as a project?
Well, we're doing this thing called Candy Lab, where we experiment a bunch of things with candy.
Cool.
So we would melt candy, we would freeze candy, and then we would smash it, we would catapult candy, and we would make boats to put candy in, and we would do contests, and whoever won the contest got to choose a piece of candy. And at the end of it, everybody got to choose a piece of candy, and the rest of the candy got donated to the teachers.
Cool. Did you enjoy the project?
Yes, it was very fun.
How do you do all the amazing things you and your class are doing?
Well, usually Mr. Wynn decides, like, what candy to do, so.
Will your teacher do this every year?
I don't know. Last year, she did not do it. So it's new, but he might do it every year.
Okay. Tell me about what candy you made. I heard that you made different types of candy.
Well, we each made one candy. My mom didn't let me eat it.
Okay.
But we took apart different parts of candy to use to make our candy work.
Cool.
And we got to each choose three candies to use.
Awesome. Thanks for telling me about this project. It was awesome. I will be reporting on the second of the two conversations I will be having today. What is your name?
Lola.
How old are you?
7.
So I heard that you're doing a candy lab as a project.
Yes.
Could you tell me some things you and your class have done in this project?
Well, we took a little thing of water,
mm-hmm.
and we're putting all these chocolates in, and one starburst in, and we said that no candy floated, but then we found out that there was, like, one candy that did and one candy that took a while to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this thing called Thinker Float. We would have, like, a little chart, and we would say what we were doing. Like, I did a pencil, and I predicted it would float, and it did. And we freeze candy and all that.
I heard that your class made different types of candy. What candy did you make?
I made a Starburst and Missy's Cup.
Mm-hmm.
A baby Ruth mix.
Cool.
And it was very hard to do because some of us just took a candy bar and decorated it, and then others of us, we just mashed it up and made a ball. And Mr. Brand told us to pick three pieces, and all of us picked really, really different pieces. Like, one of us picked a lollipop and chocolate, and Mr. Brand even made his own candy. So basically everyone in the class did it.
Cool. Could you tell me some things you and your class have done in this project?
Yeah. Well, on the first day of Candy Lab, at the end of the day, we took a hammer and we started smashing candy. And we smashed a jawbreaker, but before that we smashed a Tootsie Roll. Mr. Brand took the Tootsie Roll wrapper and put it on because he wanted it to be a surprise, and then he was just joking. And so it cracked, and all of us predicted that would just stay there and bounce off. But so we had a lot of predictions.
Cool. That is amazing. Thank you for telling me about that project.
You're welcome. Bye.
This is Elliot Scher, and this is the end of our discussion about Candy Lab.
Welcome to our version of the game show, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? We have been learning the questions needed to pass the citizenship test. There are about 100 questions in the test. We learn about 8 to 10 questions each week. To become a citizen, you have to answer 6 out of 10 questions correctly. I'll ask a question and give you 10 seconds to think of the answer. Keep up with your score. If you get either 6 out of 10 or higher, then you pass. How much do you know about the United States and your own government? That is the real question. Now, while you are gathering a piece of paper and a pencil, We will play Am I Wrong by Miko and Vince. Enjoy the song.
They all do. It's one thing I know, I'm far but I grow. I'm walking down this road of mine, this road that I go home. So am I wrong? Thinking that we could be something for real. Now am I wrong? For trying to reach the things that I can't see. That's just how I feel. That's just
Chief of the military. Answer, the president. Hope you got that one right, too. You're going to need him. Question number three is, what does the judicial branch do?
Answer,
Answer, explains laws, or this one's also correct, reviews laws.
Number four is, how many amendments are there? Answer, 27. Hope you got it right. Number five, what do we call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution? The Bill of Rights. Question number six, who vetoes the bill? Answer, the president. Question number seven is, what is the name of the ship that brought the pilgrims to America? The answer to that one is the Mayflower. Cool name. Number eight is, what is an amendment? The answer is a change or an addition to the Constitution. Number nine is, who is in charge of the executive branch? President, kind of like the head of the all, in my opinion. And last but not least, question number 10. We elect a U.S. Senator for how many years? The answer to that one is 6 years. That's a long time. I don't think I'd be able to get that one. So, how did you do? Hope you can become a citizen. This is Sarah Headley, signing off.
Hello, CJDS family. This is Mika Jeffco, and in the studio with me is Vinny Stutman, and he's going to tell us a little bit about Hanukkah. So, Vinny, what's the history of Hanukkah?
Hanukkah is to remember when the Syrian Greeks attacked, tried to conquer Israel, and they started putting idols in the Beit HaMikdash. So there were a group of Maccabees that started practicing Torah, and the Maccabees being Tamar. Then there was a war against them, and there was a miracle that they won the war. And then they needed oil to light the menorah, but there wasn't any oil approved by the Kohen. Like at all, there wasn't really any approved except for a tiny jar with his seal, but it was only supposedly enough to last one day, and it would take 8 days to get oil back to here that is approved. And then it miraculously lasted for 8 days, and that's why we light the candles for 8 days. That's why we have 8 candles.
That's fascinating. I heard we light a Hanukkah. What is that?
A Hanukkah is, in North America, most people call it a menorah, but it's completely different. A Hanukkah has 8 candles in the shamash, which is what you use to light all the other candles.
So what is a menorah?
The menorah was the thing in the second Beit HaMikdash that you put oil in and then lit it, and then there was fire in there for a whole day, and it could only fit 7.
Okay, so where did the word Hanukkah come from?
Because Hanukkah begins on Kafei of Kislev.
Okay. Is there any kind of certain food we're supposed to eat?
There's no food that you're supposed to eat, but lots of people eat very oily foods on Hanukkah.
Why?
To remember the oil that lasted for 8 days.
So I heard of a dreidel, but why do we spend the dreidel?
It's like a game where, like, if you get a certain amount, you get everything. If you don't, you get half, but one back, or you get nothing. And there's also a song that most people sort of, it goes like this, dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay, when it's dry and ready, dreidel, I shall play,
That's all I remember.
So, when is Hanukkah celebrated?
In mid to early December.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Benny, for telling us about Hanukkah. This is Mikael Jeffcoat signing off.
This is Benny Strutzman, and I want to wish everybody a happy Hanukkah.
We hope you enjoyed our show today. Once again, we would like to thank our sponsors who made this show possible. They are Sharon and Colleen Stronach, founders of Varna International. Thank you, PJDS family, for tuning in to the PJDS radio show for Hearts and Minds.
As we sign off, this is a song by U2 called It's a Beautiful Day.
We look forward to having you back next time. This is Maya Davis and Calvin Stevick signing off.
The heart is a blue. Shoots up to the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you found a friend to take you out of this place, someone you can lend a hand in return for grace. It's a beautiful day. Clearing the sea out, see the bed when fires at night.